Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode number 54. Today we set the scene for the next assignment, for which the theme is reflections. Reflections are found almost everywhere in one form or another, so this should not be difficult to enter, but maybe difficult to win due to the almost endless possibilities. Of course, I have some examples to show you from my gallery, both recent and not so recent, but I'll also be out shooting with this topic in mind myself in the coming weeks, and would like to remind you that your entries too must be shot no earlier than September the 11th, 2006, which is today. The idea is to give us something to visualize and plan and get out shooting rather than searching through our own stockpile of images and just selecting something that fits the bill. Also, listen out at the end of today's podcast for an announcement from John Arnold, the guy behind the Photo Walkthrough podcast, about a competition that John is just starting, in which you can win a Spider 2 Pro from ColorVision to calibrate your monitor. Reflections are all around us and can be quite effective in photos to draw the viewer into the image to a much greater extent than an image of the same subject without the reflection. I know that when I see a photo that has a reflection, my eye tends to go to the reflection either before or very quickly after the object that is being reflected, once I realize that the reflection is included. I don't know why this is, but I find myself poring over the reflection often to a much greater extent than the original subject. Maybe I'm looking for imperfections in the reflection due to the surface of water, say, in which the object is reflected. Or maybe I'm just intrigued by the fact that everything is either upside down or mirrored left to right, for example. On searching through my web gallery for images of reflections, I came up with a few that I'd like to introduce today, just to give you an idea of what I've done so far myself. First, let's take a look at image number 612. Remember that there are various ways to view the images I discuss in these podcasts. If you are using iTunes or an iPod, the image will already be displayed as this is an enhanced podcast. Likewise, if you're using the streaming player from my website, the image will be changed automatically. And from both iTunes and the streaming player, you can click the image to jump to my website to view the shooting data, etc., below the image, or leave comments and things like that. The number that I give with each image can also be entered into a small field on the top page or the podcasts page on the martinbaileyphotography.com website to jump straight to the image. But if you are following on my website, the easiest thing to do is to just go to the podcast page and search out the episode that you're listening to in the table and click on the thumbnail in the list. Also, remember that there's a light version of the podcast page if you are following on a pocket PC or other form factor device, which downloads a much smaller page. The address for this page is at the top of the podcast page. Remember, there's also an MP3 version of the podcast, and the address for that feed is at the top of the podcast page too. Anyway, going back to image number 612, which I shot about a year and a half ago in the Shinjuku Gyoen Park here in Tokyo. As I strolled through the park with my better half and my camera gear strapped to my person as usual, I noticed this scene through the trees that lined the footpath and found a place that allowed me to compose the shot with my 17-85mm EF-S lens on my old 20D without including any of the trees that lined the path. And I just managed to get a place that would allow me to frame this scene as you see it now. As you can see, the water is very still, allowing the spring colours of the trees to reflect in the water with very little distortion. But the thing I really like about this shot is the mangled branches of the two trees, one on the left and one on the right third. The colours are nice and the shot wouldn't be the same without them, but I feel the graphic elements these bare branches add is just really the thing in this shot for me that brings it out. I guess this is something to look out for while shooting for this assignment. Just a reflection might not be that much or very interesting, unless there's some other interesting element in the shot to begin with. I might be wrong, and by all means do please prove me wrong if you can come up with something very simple in composure but very effective. But on looking at my own reflection images, the ones that I have right now, I found that I was more drawn towards this kind of image with one or two quite graphic elements. I shot this image at f11 for 125th of a second at ISO 200. I shot handheld as I was really just out for a walk with the missus and was trying to be as quick as possible, but I probably didn't need to use ISO 200 here. With image stabilizer turned on at 26mm focal length, I could have easily shot this at ISO 100 for 1/60th of a second and not really worry about camera shake. So I don't really know why I did that. I guess I was just rushing a little. In the next image, number 509, we can see the iconic Kinkakuji, or the Golden Pagoda Temple in Kyoto. This is not really a great favourite of mine, but I thought I'd include it to continue on the point of including something of interest. This is a pretty standard shot of this subject, though, as you round the corner on the path approaching this temple, there's a spot by the edge of the pond to stand, and it's an area without trees in the way at all, you know, so that you can just get the standard shot. I was using a 10 to 22mm EF-S lens now on my 20D and was being buffeted by hordes of tourists trying to shoot the same scene, but with Aunt Mary and Uncle George standing in front of it, next to me that is, creating the Us at Kinkakuji Temple shot for the Japan 2005 family album. Great fun, I guess, but I've never really been one for shooting the proof of being there type shots. I shot this myself at f6.3 for 1/80th of a second at ISO 100. I chose a wide focal length of just 18mm, which is almost 29mm if we calculate the crop factor, basically because I wanted to include a fair amount of the scene and its reflection, and also because the sky is relatively nice too, with some fluffy clouds breaking up the slightly pale blue. In contrast to the last two images shot in daylight with nice bright reflections, let's take a look at image number 895 from my February 2006 visit to Hokkaido. Here we can see a number of boats in the Naosu Harbour at shortly before 5:30 a.m. before we went out on a boat and shoot the eagles that we looked at in episode 27 of this podcast. I took the opportunity to have a walk to the water's edge while the tour organizer spoke with the skipper of the boat to see if we would indeed be going out. The waters can be quite changeable and certainly dangerous, especially at this time of year, so we never actually know for sure that we'll put out until shortly before we actually do. I shot this with my 100 to 400mm lens at 120mm to close in a little on the boats, but still with a wide enough angle to capture not only the reflections, which I found to be the interesting part, but also plenty of the foreground with the icy patches spread across the surface of the water. I set the ISO to 800 and a wide aperture of f5 for obvious reasons, and I also used -1 2/3 exposure compensation to ensure that the scene was recorded dark and not made too bright as the camera would have made it in an attempt to create an averagely lit image. This gave me an exposure time of 1/80th of a second, which is around 2 stops under the recommended shutter speed for this focal length, so I was relying on the lens's image stabilizer to keep the capture steady. I recall shooting another composition, a portrait rather than landscape shot, with the green boat in the center here on the left of the shot and the white boat with the row of 6 lights to the right of it. The reflection, if I remember rightly, was it runs down the length of the shot, filling the frame. I really didn't think this worked quite as well, though. I think this image is successful because of the number of reflections being repeated horizontally across the frame. Next, let's take yet another look at image number 1079. I've showed you this image a couple of times recently, so I apologize for keep thrusting it upon you. But for the reflections assignment, I thought it important to mention once more about either using a gradual neutral density filter or shoot 2 images using a tripod to keep them perfectly registered, making sure that one image is exposed for the highlights and the other exposed for the shadows, and then merging them in Photoshop. We need to do this in some situations like this, where there will simply not be enough dynamic range in your image, if digital, or latitude in the film, if you're using film, to capture the detail in both the shadows and the highlights at the same time. Here I used Photoshop to merge the sky from one exposure and the pond and mountains of a second exposure to make this image. Of course, they had to be shot in very quick succession, otherwise the clouds would move, making it difficult to merge them later, especially around where the volcanic steam meets the sky here. As I mentioned previously, there is 1 2/3 of a stop difference between the sky and the foreground pond and mountains. You may need to bear this in mind if you also shoot a scene where the reflection is much darker than the original element. Basically here I shot at f16 for 1/400th of a second, which is minus 2 2/3 of a stop for the sky, and the mountains and pond were minus 1 stop. Let's take a look at another quick example in the next shot, image number 243, in which we can see a great white egret stalking its prey. This is a pretty old shot too, made at the end of January 2004, again in the Shinjuku Gyoen Park here in Tokyo. This particular image, shot with my 100-400mm lens at f5 for 1/250th of a second at ISO 400, leaves a little to be desired by my what I'd like to think are my present standards, but I still like the detail in the bird's plumage, and I love the reflection of the bird itself, almost as though it's looking down at itself in the surface of the water and not into the water trying to find a fish. I cropped this to an almost square image, as the edges really added very little to the image itself, and it also, the cropping helps us to focus on the main subject and its reflection. Until now, all of the reflections have pretty much filled the screen, but let's take a look at image number 831 of a lone swan being hit by a splash of light at the edge of a pond late one winter afternoon. I had switched to manual mode, as needless to say, the swan would have been totally blown out and the background not dark, but well exposed mid-tone, had I not gone to manual mode. And the result is that the swan is perfectly exposed. We can see detail in its back and neck, and what's more, we can see a beautiful reflection in the water running towards the foreground. If you have your monitor calibrated, you should be able to see the reflection of the swan's body and neck stretching out almost twice the length of the swan's neck itself. This was shot with my 600mm f4 at f8 for 1/800th of a second using ISO 200. There is a small amount of detail in the top right corner as well, as the sun catches just a part of some branches on the tree over there. But apart from that, the whole shot falls into darkness, allowing us to concentrate on this small but beautiful swan and its reflection. Shot at the same pond, but 2 months earlier in December 2005, I captured image number 800. Here, all I'm showing, reflecting, is the sun itself. I noticed this group of ducks sitting on the edge of a patch of ice, waiting for the sun to warm them before they start to get really active for the day. So I lined them up along the top, the very top of the image, to add an additional element, but basically was working with the myriad of little sparkling reflections of the sun. These in themselves, though, would not really have been enough for a pleasing image, so the time of day and the line of ducks on the ice all helped to pull this together. I closed the aperture down just a little here to f11 to get a fair amount of the sparkles in focus, but basically I focused on the ducks to ensure that we could make them out in their forms without problems, and allow the sparkles to go gradually out of focus towards the foreground of the image. The whole scene, though, was maybe 50 to 70 meters away, about 160 to 230 meters, feet away from me, on the far side of the Kotoku Pond. So I was getting a relatively large amount of depth of field with f11, although at the focal length of 600 millimeters, the depth of field does remain relatively shallow at this distance. Another option is to get to your location early enough or late enough to capture the sun's disk in the scene, as well as its reflection, as I did in image number 547. This was shot close to my hometown in England with my 100 to 400 millimeter lens at full extent, which on my 20D equated to 640 millimeters. On a full-size sensor. I was using ISO 100 at f5.6, basically wide open for this lens at 400 millimeters, and the shutter speed was 1/160th of a second. I usually try to avoid adding man-made structures to my images, but with the sun going down right beside this huge pylon on the horizon, I decided to capitalize on it. I saw the ducks swimming across the scene as well. I waited for it just to break the edge of the reflection of that huge sun disk, but before it went behind the overhanging tree's branches. With the sun being so low in the sky at this point, the disk itself is starting to elongate slightly, and it also throws a very long reflection in the surface of the water. With lots of vertical elements in the shot, I chose to shoot this image vertically too, so we not only get the entire reflection of the sun, but filling the frame, but also the dark reflection of the pylon in contrast to the sun itself. Finally, today let's take a look at one last image, going even further back in time to October 2003, when I used my old 10D with a 17 to 35 millimeter f2. F2.8 lens to capture image number 190 from the deck of a ferry as I approach the island of Sado, which is the dark patch, the island that we can see towards the bottom of the shot. This time the reflection is not of an object, but rather more abstractly just a reflection of the fiery sky. This was shot at f6.3 for 1/50th of a second at ISO 100. I had the lens opened up to its full extent at 17mm and used -2/3 of exposure compensation to keep the dark areas dark and the sky saturated. I've told this story before, but basically I was crossing to the island with my better half and some friends, and kept dragging myself away from the sunset that I had been shooting. as I kept telling myself that it wasn't going to get any better, and I kept going back inside. I'd done this maybe 3 times and was sure that the last time I went back in to be social would be the last time. And as the sun just dropped down below the horizon, I really was sure that there was nothing else was going to happen. But as I sat down, the sky that I looked out at from the back of the ferry, which was actually the opposite side of the sky to the scene, just seemed to burst into colour, almost as fiery red as the scene itself. I turned and looked at the company that I was with, kind of with one cheek on the plastic bench. I'd been sitting on the bench for about 10 seconds, and I looked at my missus and the friends with a bit of a puppy dog wanting a bone look. And although they were surely already very frustrated by my total lack of social graces, they all sort of flicked their heads towards the entrance, telling me to go and get the shot. And boy, am I glad that I did. I couldn't believe my eyes when I went back out onto the top deck and saw the sky just totally aflame. I haven't checked today, but if I recall correctly, I shot around 100 shots of this sunset as it developed, and this was one of the very last few. Had I known that it was going to turn out like this, I could have saved my social dignity and stayed with my friends until just the last 5 minutes and then popped out to capture it. I kind of hope that friends like this appreciate what I'm trying to do with my photography and put up with my lack of social graces. But come to think of it, I've not been traveling with these friends since this trip. You'll have noticed some new music for this week's episode's intro. This is brought to you courtesy of the Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. I thought I'd select this one today basically because it's a track entitled Reflections by Dreamweaver. By the way, this assignment's theme, Reflections, was suggested a few months ago in the forum by Fireball, real name Julian Foley from Angus, Scotland. Thanks for the suggestion, Julian, and I hope that you have fun with the assignment. And I hope that there's still enough sunny days left up there in Scotland to make this possible this year. I know that when you suggested it, you'd said that there'd been lots of good weather, so it would have been a good assignment. I'm afraid it's been a little while since you did suggest that, so hopefully the conditions haven't changed too much. The assignment will run from today, September the 11th, until October the 23rd. That's 6 weeks to come up with your entry. Remember, it has to be an original image, your own work, shot before these dates, or between these dates. That is, again, the 11th of September and finishing on the 23rd of October. You can use Photoshop for post-processing, but with some restrictions. So go to the assignment forum on martinbaileyphotography.com for full details of the guidelines. And I'll also put a link to the guidelines post in the show notes. The prize for the first place is an original print of any print of your choice from my online gallery. Remember though that I'm putting all of the scores that each member receives into a virtual hat, and I will be accumulating the votes for one grand prize at the end of the year. Basically, what this will mean is if you continue to have a steady stream of votes, you may not take first prize, but you could accumulate enough votes to get the grand prize at the end of the year. As of now, I still haven't hooked up with a sponsor to give us something great that you'll want much more than one of my prints. But I am going to start looking very soon and will update you on what the prize will be as soon as I know myself. Have fun with the assignment. Stay tuned for the announcement of another competition from one of my fellow Photocast Network podcasters at photocastnetwork.com. John Arnold of the Photo Walkthrough podcast, coming up in just a moment. So have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's John from PhotoWalkthrough.com, the free Photoshop tutorials video podcast. This month on the show, I'm giving away a ColourVision Spyder 2 Pro to the lucky winner of our Photo Walkthrough Challenge. That's a really cool monitor calibration tool for any digital photographer. All you have to do to win is take a great photo inspired by the subject colour. Head on over to www.photowalkthrough.com to enter, and while you're there, check out our free video tutorials that show not just how, but when and why you should use each Photoshop technique. So hurry up and visit photowalkthrough.com before the competition closes on October the 6th for a chance to win a ColourVision Spyder 2 Pro.